So good to see y'all. So good. So good to see all of you here this morning. I'd like to begin this morning by reading from 1 Peter 2. We're going to read several passages, and I've tried to highlight some of the key phrases I'd like us to really concentrate on. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. It's easy to read through that part of this paragraph and just sort of rattle off those phrases. I always try to encourage the kids in my public speaking class, when you read scripture in particular, but anything you're reading, read the message, not just the words. And so when you look at those phrases and try to get your head around what they actually mean, what it says we are, it's a pretty special thing. But I don't want to just stop at this verse. Let's go on. We are those special kinds of people that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do we understand who we are? Chosen, royal, holy, people belonging to God who have received mercy. Romans 12. Urge brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that then you will be able to test and to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And how many times have we pondered this phrase, our opportunity and our obligation to be a living sacrifice, not one that's killed and the blood poured out, sprinkled on the altar, the one that doesn't die, one that dedicates a living life to the glory and honor of God. And Paul says, this is your spiritual act of worship. How we live is constantly an act of worship. If we are presenting our physical bodies as a living sacrifice to him. Very powerful words and quite a dramatic kind of a description. When you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Now, doesn't that go against the way we think? I'm not a slave to anybody. I'm not a slave to my work. I'm not a slave to this, to that, to him, to her, because that's just a very bad word in our culture, and it should be. But it's not always true. He says, don't you understand that your body is to be presented by the way you live and the way you control and use the body as a sacrifice, a continual living sacrifice, because you have become a slave. You are obligated continually to righteousness. And the will you have is not your own will anymore. And there are passages that deal with that as well. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me, turn off your cell phones, please. Hello. Nothing like interrupting thought. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And that last phrase in the red up here ties into the first passage, to the passage we read about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, which means you lose it. You give up your life. And that's the only way we find it in our life, is by giving it up to be a slave to righteous living according to God's instructions. Family cannot come before you. Parents, siblings, children, grandchildren, nobody can come before my being a living sacrifice, a slave to righteousness. Powerful phrases. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Tough to live by. Sometimes, because we are so governed by the body and the thoughts connected to it and the things that our body just leads us into in all aspects of our life. But what a strong phrase. You are not your own. Someone bought you, which makes you that being's slave. I'm a slave. You're a slave. My body is not mine. In spite of the popular idea that this is my body and I'll make the decisions about my body, except a Christian can't say that. This is not my body. The Lord bought my body with his blood and expects me to use it as a living, continual, daily sacrifice to him and to righteousness. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, said Paul. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All of these strong passages that tell us, do you know who you are? You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. Your body belongs to God. You don't live anymore. Christ is to live in you and through you. That's who we are. Now, what we do with those descriptions, of course, is the difficult part of being faithful to him. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, how hard is that? To take captive every thought so that every thought is in obedience to Christ. I'm not totally sure about you, but for me, that's pretty hard. But he said, that's the battle we're in. Because of who we are now, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're not who we used to be, and we're not who people of the world are. They're in their own world. We physically live in the same physical world, but we're not in there. We live in a different world, a different mindset, because we are slaves. We've given up control, and we belong to him. So the point is, it's one thing to read scriptures like these. The difficult part is making sure that's who I am and living that way. A Christian doesn't make decisions about his life, and then, after the decision was made, try to figure out how Jesus fits into that. We've all known Christians who try to live that way. And so let me explore that just a little bit. The Christian focuses first on who she is, in relationship to Jesus and his ownership of us, body and soul. And then makes major decisions in his or her life around that focus. And if we don't do it that way, then we're probably going to make some really awful decisions. And our life will not turn out nearly like it could have turned out. So in the big red oval, I'm going to put the things that are the focus of my life right now. So let's start this way. Is this my focus? My education. I'm so sorry that so many are sick. You probably need to hear me say this morning. No, it starts any kind of education. Is that my main focus? Well, I can't really concentrate on these other things because right now, my classes, my papers, the books I read, the assignments, my degree, my diploma, I'm focused on my education. So no, I can't teach classes, I can't participate in worship, I can't attend services, I can't do the other things because this is my focus. And I've got to get this right. Well, that's pretty common. Or is this my focus, my family? Everything I'm doing right now is on getting my family to where I think they need to be, especially my children. And so they are the focus of my heart, the focus of my life. And that's what I mainly concentrate on. Or maybe it's my business. I'm really working as hard as I can. I've got to get this established. I've got to get it going. I've got to get it profitable. It's taking all my time, all my effort. Sorry, I can't be here. I can't be there. I can't participate in that because I'm focused on my business. And after I get that established like I want, then I can think about other things. Well, that's pretty common too. Or maybe it's all those things relating to marriage. Well, right now, I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for a husband. I'm concentrating on figuring out how I want to have a mate. And so I'm really focusing on that right now. Or I'm in a marriage. I'm really focusing on that, trying to make it work right, trying to be responsible and all of that. So that's taking up most of my energy and my time and attention, my emotions. When I get that right, okay, then maybe I can do some other things. Or same thing with the job. I'm busy, busy. And to get ahead, my company wants me to do this, can't do that, can't be there to worship the Lord, I can't serve him. So don't count on me for these things because I'm so tied up in my job right now that that's what I've got to do. That's my focus. Maybe it'll clear up and then I can be free to do some other things, or maybe it's how I pay my bills. That's its own struggle. Other kinds of problems, or maybe it's just simply this broad category, my personal interests. I really want to do this. I love this idea. It's a goal of mine, a dream of mine, and it's absorbing the major part of my time and attention. And okay, I'm sure the Lord will understand why I can't really get involved in his things right now. Because these things are so intrusive. And so when I get this or that or these things under control, then I can really concentrate on my soul, on my spiritual world. But right now, I just really got to focus on these other things. And then when I sort of get those in a good spot, then I can really give attention to glorifying God in everything. And then maybe I can find a way that maybe I can help them find a break. But right now, I've got this to do, and this plan, and that dream, these projects. And so, no, you can't really count on me to really develop myself and dedicate myself to serving the realm instead of myself. And these things that truly are really occupying my attention. And I'd really like to have more Bible knowledge, but now I've got to concentrate on these other things. And so, again, when I get those in control, then I can deal better. I'll read more, I'll study more, I'll be more regular in Bible classes and the other opportunities that are provided. But right now, can't do that. And the money that I'm making, the resources that I have available to me, including money, my house, all my possessions, whatever they are, I'll get around it. The dealing with what it means to be a steward, a manager, an administrator of this for the honor of God. And no, can't really have those things going on in my house right now because I don't want anybody to see inside my house for whatever reasons. Or no, that just takes too much time and I've got these other things I've really got to concentrate on. Or all kinds of reasons for not using whatever our resources are in a dedicated kind of a way. And opportunities to serve, well, you know, again, count me out for this thing because I've got so much going on in my life, I just have to cut back somewhere. So, you know, you just can't count on me in that spiritual service. You know, I think I could do more, but I haven't really developed some of those skills or talents that I think are there. On some level, they could be improved and increased. But right now, I've got to concentrate on one or more of these things inside the red oval. When I get that under control, then I can pay more attention to developing myself to be able to contribute to the work of the Lord in all the different ways that works. Well, imitating Jesus, well, of course I want to. And I'll get around to that. Sounds like a really bad, I don't think any of us would say, no, I don't want to imitate Jesus. No, I want to. And I can concentrate on that more thoroughly when I get some of these other things under good control. Well, you see the point in all of that. What's wrong with that chart? What's wrong with that illustration? Well, everything's backwards. And that's probably what a lot of you are thinking. So, oops. Let's try this one. This is better. Is this my focus? I'm a living sacrifice. I'm a slave of righteousness. My body is a temple of God, and I'm supposed to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ because he possesses me. I'm his possession. And I realize that Christ is living in me. That's my priority. That's who I am. That's who I'm working on. That's my focus. I may not be as far along as I want to be, but that's what runs my life. Now, based on that, where does education fit in? Somewhere second. Or lower. More than anything, I'm not a student first. I'm not a worker at a job first. I'm not a business owner first. I'm not a parent first. I'm not a mate first. First, I am a sacrifice that has been bought and purchased by God. I am to be a slave to righteousness. And with that understanding, then I make decisions about my education. How will that education that I envision tie into who I am? Now, why do I think that kind of career of study, how does that tie into who I am and who I plan to be all of my life? And my work, why that kind of a job? Why that career? How does that tie into who I am? Slave to righteousness, capturing every thought to the obedience of Christ, living every day as a sacrifice for him and his honor and his glory. Now, how does my job fit that? Not how does that fit my job? How do I work Jesus around my job? No, how do I work my job around the Lord and my commitment to him? Same thing about how to pay my bills. Do I worry about how to pay my bills more than I worry about, am I really a slave to righteousness? Am I really living like a living sacrifice? Am I really bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? You know, one way of looking at the bills are going to be there. And people are going to be, of course, coming for their money. But first, like a guy mentioned to me many years ago down in Columbia, first holiness, and then whatever comes next. If I have to live on a lower scale than I prefer to live in order to pay my bills, then what does the slave to righteousness do? Well, first my bills, and then I'll work on my spirit. No, First my spirit, my soul, and then I figure out what kind of debts I incur, what kind of debts I do not incur, and how to deal with them. Marriage, first of all, I am a living sacrifice to God, okay? Then why are you dating that guy? Why are you dating that girl? Do they love God? Well, no. Do they honor God with their lives, with their behavior? Well, no, but they're good people. So what do I think of first? A relationship I want to have with somebody or who I am. First, I have to remember who I am. And then the decision about people I hang with, people I date, people I marry, has to fit around who I am and who Jesus is. And what being a slave to his righteousness requires of me. Then I make those decisions based on that. My family, same thing. All my children, family comes first. No, sorry, it doesn't. My relationship to righteousness and to holiness and to being chosen comes first. And then everything about my family, if I'm a slave to righteousness, if I'm bringing every thought captive to the needs of Christ, things are going to work out. I'm going to treat my family the way it should, as a chosen one, as a holy priest, as a possession of God. And that's the basis upon which I will deal with my family. My personal interests, I got a lot of them. Dreams, desires, boy, I'd like to do that. I'm going to do that. Well, how does that fit in with every day living as a sacrifice to the Lord? With every day honoring him with the decisions I make, glorifying him with those decisions. Isn't it clear that my personal interests have to take a back seat? Sometimes how does that fit in with my being a holy priest, one who serves others, one who is there to edify and strengthen and encourage others? How does that fit in? Or do I make the decision first and then try to figure out, well, there must be a way to work Jesus in with this? Spiritual knowledge, well, I need it. I really need it. But it's going to have to wait, or does this come first? If there's anything I need to know, it's about God and it's about Jesus Christ and my relationship and my responsibilities to them. That's what I need to know more than math, history, science, art, music, sports. I often just sit and watch people and listen to people talk. And it always has amazed me for many years how you can get some people together and you bring up some popular subject, maybe it's sports. And then you've got people who can name all the teams. They can name all the major players on the teams. They can quote statistics of the different players, whatever sport it is. They can tell you the rules. And maybe they engage personally in that sport or a series of sports. Same thing in music, pop culture. I can tell you all the superstars of the day. I can name their songs. I can sing their songs. Okay, how much of the scripture can you talk about? Tell me what you think about Jesus. Tell me what is your relationship to him. How would you describe it? And it's amazing how silent people become because we don't know those things. Because that's not our area of primary focus. My business, same thing. Personal problems. First, who am I? And how do I fit my problems and my business into who I am? So that who I am comes first, always first, every day first. And then these peripheral areas of our physical life, they have to be fitted in under the thinking of who am I and who do I intend to be. And if that's not the way we make decisions, then we're bound to make some serious mistakes. You've been bought with a price. Do I believe that? Do I live that way? I've been bought. My body is not mine. Nothing I have is mine. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Do I use my body to glorify him or not? I'm aware, I should be aware, of whether I do or not. You're slaves to whom you obey. So, present your members as slaves to righteousness resulting in sanctification. Is that me? Is that the way I live? He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Not talking just about martyrdom. It's talking about every day keeping and losing. My life is my life. And I live it the way I want. It's a popular idea, but it's not godly. My body has been bought. It's not mine anymore. Everything about me has been bought. It's not mine anymore. I have to treat it. I have to use it in the role of being a living sacrifice to the Lord every day. First grade, second grade, high school, college, beyond college, business, family, society. Who are we? And are we aware and committed to that every day? It's demanding, isn't it? Every day we must remember who we are. Who am I? Well, I really want to be able to say with Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. And physical person you see here, I'm not who I used to be because I no longer live. I live for Christ. Christ lives in me. And every major decision, important decision I make revolves around who I am in him. Isn't that God's rule for how we succeed in this life? It helps me to think of that. I hope it helps you too. Thank you very much.